Degenerates. We're back. We're going to give you another episode, all of your fantasy needs. We got a full crew tonight. The DFS Degenerate himself, Eric. The Dynasty Degenerate, Steve. And I, Brian, the Redraft Degenerate. Steve, how you doing tonight?
Good, Brian. How's it going, Eric? How's it going, guys, listeners?
Eric, how you doing tonight, brother?
I am doing great, man. How you boys doing?
Oh, fucking excellent. Couldn't be happier. So that's pretty much going to bring us right into our mailbag. Lots of stuff to get to.
The mailbag.
Oh, wait. No, there isn't. Because you shitheads haven't sent us anything in 2 weeks. Guys, there's nothing going on. We need you now more than ever. It's like, I know it's counterintuitive to be like, there's nothing going on. Please send us stuff. But it's true. It's true. It's true. We need our listeners. You guys got to pull through for us. And it is half of your entry fee to win the contest. So the winner has already been decided for this beautiful Brandon Ayuk photo. The next item to be given away will be announced on the next episode. We hope you stay tuned for that. So congratulations, winner. Don't forget to check your email. And we hope you enjoy it. So, guys, what do you think about getting into a little game show action?
Love games.
Love games. Yeah, I love game shows.
Let's get right into it. Obviously, Eric is 1-0 after playing The Stat is Right. We'll see if Steve can bounce back and win Dynasty. Let's make a deal. Welcome to Dynasty, Let's Make It. I do not have different game show music because this is the only unlicensed music I could find. So, the way this works is I am going to give you a player. He's yours. You can keep him. If you don't want that player, you can trade him for a draft pick. However, that draft pick has randomly been assigned one of last year's rookies within ADP, and you could get worse, you could get better by taking that pick. And then, once you decide if you want the pick or you want the player, you could decide to take the mystery player. I'm going to give you one stat. Some of them you're going to get better, some of them you're going to get worse, but there are a lot of points to be had with those mystery players. And the co-host with the most points at the end of the game wins. Are there any questions?
No, sir. I think I get the gist of it.
Yeah, so let's get right into Let's Make a Dynasty Deal. Eric, you are first up. I'm a generous guy, you know. I like you. You like me. We've been friends for a long time. I'm going to give you A.J. Brown. He is yours. You can keep him, or you can trade him for the 109.
I think I'm fixing to keep my boy, A.J. Brown.
Right. So you're going to keep A.J. Brown? You're going to give away the 109? That is perfect. But now this is where the real challenge begins. I am offering you one mystery player, sir. That wide receiver finished last year with 1,054 receiving yards. Do you want A.J. Brown or our mystery player?
I'm going to stick with A.J. Brown.
Sticking with A.J. Brown. The mystery player was Tyler Lockett, who finished with 264 fantasy points compared to A.J. Brown's 246. So, didn't exactly cripple you, but you left a couple of points on the table. And by the way, in case you were wondering, the player assigned to the 109 last year was Henry Ruggs. 82.1 fantasy points.
So that was a good fade.
A good fade. All right. So, Obviously, one very good move and one move that could have been better, but didn't exactly kill you either. Steven, Eric's off to a pretty decent start. You know, obviously 246 is nothing to laugh at. Are you ready for your first turn?
I am ready.
All right. So I am going to give you Keenan Allen. All right. Very comparable to A.J. Brown as far as fantasy points last year. And I'm going to offer you the 110.
Nope.
No. Okay.
Nope.
Now I am going to, but now this is where the real challenge begins, okay? Your mystery player is a wide, all the mystery players are wide receivers, by the way. I should have mentioned that. Your mystery player caught 4 touchdowns.
I'll take the mystery player.
He's taking the mystery player. The mystery player is Terry McLaurin, who finished with 222 fantasy points, which was 20 points less than Keenan Allen's 242. However, the 110 was Jalen Reagor, 85.2 fantasy points. Obviously, you guys are still reasonably close, 246 to 223. There's a lot, trust me, there's a lot of opportunity to make up 20 fantasy points. So still anybody's game. You thought the 4 touchdowns was a trap, didn't you?
No, I figured it was 4 touchdowns. But, I mean, there's a lot of receivers with 3-4 touchdowns that have a tremendous amount of yards. So
yeah,
I'll take the chance on that. Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to be Jalen Reagor or Henry Ruggs, because I was pretty sure that was, he either went at 108 or 110, so I knew Reagor had to be close to that.
Yep. So,
this is only wide receivers the whole time?
No.
Oh,
all,
just
the
right now?
Players, okay. All the mystery players. All the mystery players are wide receivers. But Eric, that's going to put you back on the spot. So Eric, I'm going to start you with your boy, Amari Cooper. Not a bad spot to start, okay?
No, not at all.
You can do worse than that. I'm going to offer you the 106. So will you take the 106 and give me Amari Cooper?
I think I'm going to hold on to Cooper.
Hold on to Amari Cooper. Okay. Can you hold on to him for long is the real question. So I'm going to offer you the mystery player who finished last year with 87 receptions. 87 receptions last year.
You know what? Let's make a deal, baby. I'll take the mystery player.
You're a fucking Jedi, dude. That was totally designed to be a trap. Oh, you fucking... Steve's gonna hate you. You just traded Amari Cooper for Tyreek Hill.
Oh, shit!
You went from 237 fantasy points to 327 fantasy points. So, wow. Okay. So, your mystery player, by the way, and this was by pure coincidence, CeeDee Lamb, 215 fantasy points.
Oh, he would have been the 106 if I
He would have been
that.
The 106 if you'd taken it. So obviously a huge, huge upgrade. That's going to be tough to make up from. Steve does have a couple of chances to make up those points, but he needs to play his cards right.
Good game, Eric.
Yeah.
What's the next segment?
So, Steve, are you ready for your turn?
Yep. Hit
All
me.
Right. I am off. You're being awarded Robert Woods. Okay.
Ugh.
Now, I am going to offer you the 208 for Robert Woods.
Oh, 208. Yeah, I'll take it. Give me JJ.
No, oh, you think he went a 208? That's cute.
no, he didn't.
So now you have the 208.
Yep.
But you could trade that for a wide receiver that averaged 18.8 yards per catch last year.
No, I'll keep the 2.8.
He's keeping the 2.8. Well, Steven, I can tell you, you just made up a lot of ground, sir. Robert Woods had 243 fantasy points. The mystery player was DJ Moore, who had 211 fantasy points. The player right around 208 last year was Justin Herbert, 335 fantasy points. That now leaves the game at 573 to 558. Eric holds on to his lead, but barely. Looked like Steve was buried for a minute there, and he bounces right back. So, still anybody's game, boys.
But it was only wide receivers.
The mystery players.
The rookies will be whatever they were drafted.
Correct. So, Eric, you're back up. How are you feeling about your lead right now?
A little close than I would like it to be.
You getting scared?
A little bit. A little bit. How many more rounds we got?
You each have five questions, five turns.
Eric, would you like to settle off air?
Settle off air?
Let's make a deal, baby.
What's the stipulation?
Yeah. So, Eric, I am going to gift you Mike Evans.
Oh, I like Mike Evans.
I bet you do. So you got Mike Evans. But obviously, I know Mike Evans is a good player, so I am going to offer you the 102.
The 102?
Yeah.
So I'm swapping Mike Evans for a running back. I'm guessing off the top of my head. Fuck, I'm going to keep Mike Evans.
He's keeping Mike Evans. Okay. So right now you have Mike Evans. I'm going to offer you a mystery wide receiver. Finished last year with 83 receptions.
I'm going to keep Mike Evans.
He's keeping Mike Evans. So you took the bottom of the barrel there. Mike Evans had 248.6 fantasy points. The 102 was Jonathan Taylor with 252 fantasy points. And the wide receiver with 83 receptions was DK Metcalf, 270 fantasy points. So any other decision, you would have had more points than you ended up with there. That's going to bring us on to Steve. Steve, this is your chance, man. This is your chance. Get fired up, baby.
This is it. I'm ready. Hit me.
So I am going to let you start with Brandon Cooks. You know, Brandon Cooks, pretty good player. Pretty good on all 25 of the teams he's played for. Getting older, though, so not going to give you a high pick. I'm going to offer you the 206.
Nope.
He's done. Doesn't want it. All right, so you turned down the 206. Let's see if I can get you to look at our mystery player. I am offering you a wide receiver that finished last year with 92 receptions.
Yeah, I'll take him.
He'll take him. Brandon Cooks had 232 fantasy points. The 206, by the way, was Zach Moss with 101.6 fantasy points. So excellent move right there.
Dodged the bullet.
However, the mystery player with 92 receptions was Cooper Kupp, 207 fantasy points. So, not a huge downgrade.
Not a huge loss. Yeah.
Still, points left on the table.
Yep.
So, that leaves us after three rounds. It is 821 to 765. So, Eric's starting to pull away a little bit, but still anybody's game. It's only a 60-point difference. Eric, are you ready?
You better believe it, baby.
All right, so I'm going to start you off with Mr. Juju Smith-Schuster, your best friend. Now, obviously, last year, or I should say 2019, Juju was coming off a bad year. I'm only going to offer you the 303.
The 303? Nah, fuck that. As much as I don't like Juju. Yeah.
All right, so you turned down the 303. So, let's talk about our mystery player. I am offering you a wide receiver that finished last year with 144 targets.
Let me get the mystery player, and I think it's Allen Robinson.
It is not Allen Robinson. The mystery player was Juju's teammate, Diontae Johnson.
144 targets, 142 drops.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, he literally had like 144 targets and I think like 65 receptions.
Yeah.
219 fantasy points. So you are going to take a downgrade there. Juju had 231, and the 303 last year was Antonio Gibson with 200 fantasy points. So a nice piece moving forward, but he would not have helped you last year. Well, I mean, he would have helped, but you get the point. So once again, Eric leaves some points on the board, gives a chance for Steve to crawl back in this thing. Steve, I'm going to start you with one of Eric's favorite players, James Robinson. Okay, you're starting off with James Robinson. Now, obviously, I know James Robinson's a good player, just like Eric does. So I'm going to offer you the 105 because I believe in James Robinson.
Nope.
He doesn't want it. All right, so you turned down the 105. So let's talk about our mystery player. I'm going to offer you a wide receiver with 143 targets.
Man, that's tough. I'm going to stick with James Robinson.
Sticking with James Robinson. James Robinson had 247 fantasy points. Okay, now that's obviously not bad. Nothing to cry home about. The 105 was J.K. Dobbins, 166 fantasy points, 143 targets. That was Calvin Ridley, 280 fantasy points. Left 40 points on the table, which actually would have given you the lead, unfortunately. So, sorry, Steven. That was your big chance. Now it's all going to come down to the last question. This is for all the marbles. This is really going to decide it all right here. Eric, are you ready?
Let's go, baby. Final round. Let's do it.
All right. So I am going to start you off with Aaron Jones. Okay. Obviously not a bad place to be in. I know Aaron Jones's value. We all love Aaron Jones. I'm going to offer you the 108.
I haven't been taking one of these rookie picks yet. And it's a tough one.
Does that mean you're accepting?
I'm thinking. Fuck it. Give me the 108.
He's taking the 108. I like the confidence. So, right now, you're holding on to the 108. Total fucking mystery. Nobody knows who it is. But you could take the mystery player. I am offering you a wide receiver with 127 receptions.
127 receptions?
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is tough, man. You made these tough at the end. Give me the 127 catches.
He's going to take the 127 catches. You started off with Aaron Jones, 257 fantasy points. You took the 108. That was Justin Jefferson, 273 fantasy points. And then you ended up trading in the 108 to take the mystery player, 127 receptions, Stephon Diggs, 329 fantasy points. Obviously huge. That's the death nail. Steven, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to give you the last question. We'll see how close you can get to Eric. You know, we could keep this from being a blowout. We have a little fun with it. I am going to gift you Adam Thielen. And obviously, I like Adam Thielen. So I'm going to offer you the 111. Would you like to make that trade?
Nope.
No, he's done with it. Doesn't want 111. All right, so you don't want the 111, but maybe I can tempt you with my mystery player. I'm going to offer you a wide receiver with 115 receptions.
Yeah, I'll take the mystery player.
He's going to take the mystery player. So, you started off with Adam Thielen, 254 fantasy points. Joe Burrow is worth 169 fantasy points at the 111. So, good move there. And it'd be a lot more if he hadn't torn ACL, but
it is what it is. No. Jefferson went and Herbert went. Those were the two highest scoring guys from the draft last year. So,
Yeah. And the wide receiver with 115 receptions was Mr. DeAndre Hopkins, 284 fantasy points. You made it close. I'm not going to lie to you. The real killer right here is Cooper Kupp, man. He fucking killed you. I tempted you. I drew you in with those 92 receptions. Like, oh, he had 92 receptions. He must be good. But he was actually, I believe he was the lowest scoring player on the list. But 284
this
brings you.
This isn't golf?
Yeah.
I thought this was golf. Damn it.
So that leaves Eric with a score of 1,391, and Steven, you finished with a score of 1,329. So it was a close game, you know, in the grand, I mean, we're talking about thousands of points, so, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what's 70 points amongst friends, you know, really 60 points amongst friends, so.
Pretty much last year's championship.
Yeah.
Could be the difference between first and second, baby.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So, Steve, I'm sorry you did not win once again. And Eric, the commissioner, the people's favorite.
Appreciate the applause. Appreciate it. Another win. All right. We get it. You don't need to rub it in.
So, do you have any words for your fans out there?
Get on my level. But Steve, don't worry, because in 2 weeks you're gonna have your chance at redemption. Not against me, against Brian.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody can beat Eric. Maybe you could beat me, you know.
I don't know. Depends.
Kind of level us out, you know.
If I drop that 30 pack off for your house before we record.
Mine's gonna be a little challenging, a little more challenging, I think. No offense, Brian. I'm not trying to say yours wasn't challenging, but.
No, mine are more luck involved than anything else.
Yeah.
Especially
mine's more
this
of a test of the brains. You know, how much do you know about last season and such? I might throw a couple.
I think I've proven over the last two game shows that I don't know shit about last season.
Steve is already thinking about 2021. Okay.
I'm already on to Cincinnati, guys.
He's fucking past 2020. That shit's beneath him.
I don't care how I finished last year. I'm on to this.
So I think that's pretty much going to wrap up our Let's Make a Dynasty deal. And we're going to hit you guys with a little bit of Take It or Leave It.
Take it or leave it.
So I got a couple questions for you guys. Right now, DeAndre Swift's ADP is RB13. He's being drafted 24th overall. DeAndre Swift will outperform that ADP. Take it or leave it.
I'm definitely taking it.
Can I sit on the fence and say that's right where he's going to finish?
I'll tell you what.
We got a beer bet.
You don't even have to put anything up, Steven. If he finishes at exactly RB13, you got a beer, my friend.
All right.
It would be pretty incredible. RB13. Exactly RB13.
I really got to get the website beer bet thing up.
Yeah. Watch, he'll finish like RB12 or 14, and one of us will just be fucking livid, you know?
Yeah. Hey, if he finishes higher, you're going to be happy. If he finishes lower than that,
depending on how much lower you want. But
I can see Swift finishing as like RB like 7, but I can also see him finishing as like RB 19.
Yeah,
he's a tough kind of guy to pinpoint, but I the dude had almost 70 targets in a limited snap count last year. Like, that's pretty good, and so, I only expect that to go up.
I can picture him finishing above his ADP because of his skill set, the role he's going to have in that offense, and the players around him. And I can see him being completely irrelevant just because of the uniform he's wearing. So it's kind of like, I mean, I think he's going to be better than that just because of the PPR upside. That's why I think who else is going to catch balls? Hawkinson and Swift, that's it. I don't believe in Amon Ross St. Brown. And even if I did, he's a deep threat. He's not going to catch 120 balls this year. He's probably going to catch 6. If he has the year that he should have, if he lives up to his potential, he's going to have 60 to 70 receptions with over 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. But he's not catching 120 balls. Somebody has to catch those passes. And it's either going to be Swift or Hawkinson or both. And I think it'll be both. I really like the outlook for Hawkinson as well. But those little easy money dump downs to DeAndre Swift, that's going to be PPR gold this year, I think.
I'm sorry. He had almost 60 targets. I got a little excited.
Good thing I didn't make that a question.
Yeah.
Steve would have got it.
No, probably not.
So that's going to wrap up DeAndre Swift. So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers for a minute here. All the rumors are swirling. Now there's all kinds of rumors that he's not going to move. The Packers are going to refuse to move him, which will probably force him into retirement because he's a stubborn prick. And I call it like I see it. It takes one to know one. I'm one of the most stubborn pricks around, so I don't mean it as an insult. But let's just say, for argument's sake, let's say he gets traded. To me, it seems like the most obvious landing spot is Denver. So Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Denver Broncos. Broncos are a top 3 offense in the AFC. Take it or leave it.
If Rodgers goes to Denver, they would be a top 3. I would take that.
Yeah, I've taken it because I don't think that's really that bold, personally. Top 3 in the league?
In the AFC.
It's a different story.
Yeah. In the NFC, if it's both sides, no. But in the AFC, I would take it.
Because I think really the only two teams that can really even compete with him offensively is Kansas City, obviously. Maybe Buffalo.
Buffalo. Yep. Maybe Indy. But I still think Denver, their defense is fairly solid. They did some nice things with it this offseason. And the offensive pieces are already there. So,
well, I mean, I believe who were the top offenses in the AFC last year? Obviously Kansas City, Buffalo. Probably Los Angeles, and
the Chargers will be up there.
They'd all be in the same division, which would be super entertaining.
Yeah. Also, with Burrow back, Cincinnati should have a fairly decent offense as well.
Yeah, and actually, Tennessee scored the second most points in the AFC last year. They scored more points than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. If they get Julio, then we might be talking a different fucking tune. I totally forgot about Tennessee.
That's honestly, what I'm saying. I don't think it's a no-brainer, personally. I mean, I think they will be. But, I mean, Tennessee scored 491 points last year. Buffalo scored 501. Kansas City scored 473. Baltimore, 468. The median for the AFC was right just... doing my quick mental math, which is probably way off, right around 390. They got to be way above average to get there. And I don't think it's a given. I think they'll get it, but I don't think it's a given.
Can I say something about Swift? Can I backtrack to that or no?
Yeah, why not?
So I was trying to look it up, but my sleeper was being stupid while we were on Swift. So the 2 years with Goff, when Gurley was actually healthy, he had 81 targets and 87 targets, and he was the number one and number three running backs in PPR. So I think with Goff there, I think Swift will be the beneficiary of Goff and his dump-offs.
Are you sure? I thought Gurley finished back-to-back one. Oh, in standard, he was back-to-back one.
Back-to-back one in standard, but he was 3 in PPR.
Yeah. So I don't put a whole lot of stock into that because as much as I like DeAndre Swift, he is not as talented as Todd Gurley.
He's not,
they're definitely not running the same system in Detroit.
No, but he still is the only weapon other than
I think you could argue he's just as talented as Todd Gurley as a pass catcher.
I think you could as well. I don't think he's a 1,300-1,400-yard rusher as well.
Yeah, rushing, you know, but, Pete Gurley was better probably, yeah. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just I think Gurley was a more gifted athlete. Yeah, he has arthritis, and his career ended way too early, but that boy was a fireball. Like, he was easily the most talented running back in the league when he played.
Yeah. No, I don't dispute that. But the quarterback is the same. Mm-hmm. The guy has excellent hands, and I think that could carry him into the top 12.
Yeah, it's possible. And I like Swift, don't get me wrong. I just don't know how much I believe in the Gurley Swift comparison. But I get your point, and it's been noted, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just more so I think Steve's trying to point out that it shows that Goff will target his running backs, and on a team that's probably going to suck. Like I've said, typically running backs on bad teams, bad offenses is not a recipe for success. But I think in Swift's situation, it's not as – you take that with a little bit of a grain of salt because he's such an electric pass catcher that I think he can still produce. I mean, look at CMC. Like, I'm going to bring him up. Like, the Panthers have kind of sucked
yeah.
the past few years. And, like, he still produces because he's a dual threat running back. And, well, and they give him 100% of the fucking work. But
well, I don't see who's going to steal work from Swift. I mean, he probably is going to get damn near 100%.
I don't know if he will. I mean, maybe. I think Jamal Williams will have something, some type of a role. But and I mentioned it a few months back when we were recording. Like, I honestly would not be shocked if they were both on the field at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. It's possible.
Yeah. Yep. If Swift's lining up in the slot while Williams is in the backfield or something, just because, like you said, they don't really have. I mean, yeah, they got Amon-Ra, but and Hockenson and.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're the Lions, do you really try to make room for Jamal Williams by taking Breshad Perriman off the field? I mean, risky. Risky business. You can lose your job for that. That's bold. Ballsy. That's real ballsy.
Ballsy. Ballsy play. That's what fucking Dan the Kneecap Beater Campbell's going to do.
Yeah.
It's all about those ballsy plays.
So next, Najee Harris will finish as a top 8 running back in 2021.
I'll leave that.
I'm leaving it too.
Oh,
he's already getting drafted way too high. Way too high.
Nuts. Nuts. You're crazy. I think there's a good chance he finishes top 8. Workload alone. Workload alone could get him to top 8.
Big Ben's back, baby. Didn't you hear the press conference?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wants to be a Steeler, and it was his idea to take a pay cut. Like, bullshit, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, he came back after full reconstructive elbow surgery. No, Ben, you had Tommy John surgery. A lot of athletes have it. You have a younger arm. That's fantastic. But I think he was getting a little bit better at the end of the season. He getting used to throwing again. Deep. I think that's going to translate well this year, but I don't see Najee finishing as the 8. I think he finishes right around where Swift does it at the 12, 13, 14-ish.
I think he's a back end RB1, 12, 13. I'm trying to look it up. Maybe it was, I'm sorry. I'm misinformation Eric tonight. It's not his ADP is not getting outrageous yet. Yet.
Oh, it will. He'll be a first round.
It will by redraft, yeah.
It's rankings. I've seen people rank him as high as like RB7, RB8, RB9, ahead of all these second, a good chunk of these second year running backs, which I just think is ludicrous.
I mean, I like the landing spot, don't get me wrong, in Pittsburgh, but ranking him above some of these other guys is foolish.
Yeah, I mean, how dare anybody rank him above Cam Akers?
It's ridiculous. Well, my honest
I actually agree with Eric as far as that.
I'd rather have Najee Harris than Cam Akers.
I'll take the guy that I saw do it, even if it wasn't for the whole season, than a guy I haven't seen do it.
You will.
I'm telling you, man, we're going to get into Akers next week. I'm going to enlighten you guys.
Oh, you get some bold predictions, huh?
I can tell you this. I'm probably not going to own either because I'm not going to pay the draft price for either.
I'm not paying a first round. Najee Harris is going to probably be a first round pick.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be August. Like CEH was last year.
I'm not
you're
paying.
You're going to look at mid first.
I did it last year. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Back end of the first, I'm looking at him. I don't know if
Ridiculous.
I take him, but I'm looking at him. We'll see. We'll see. It's a projection. How could my projection be ridiculous? Yeah. Well, I guess it can be, because if you make a ridiculous projection, I'll call it ridiculous.
I take anybody back there. It's going to be Akers.
Yeah, see,
I'm
just...
I'm not falling into that trap again this year. I fucking took Jacobs at the end of the first.
Yeah, right?
Doing the same thing with Akers. Fuck that.
Miles Sanders, yeah. There's always guys that go in the back of the first. Like,
Akers. Oh, I like Akers, but I'm not taking him at the end of the fucking first round. No.
Yeah.
I'd strongly consider Akers at the end of the first.
I know. Clearly, you would. To me, it really boils down to, it's just workload. And it can't. There's probably four running backs in the entire NFL that are going to touch the ball 300 times this year. And Najee Harris is probably one of them. So I'd rather take that workload, even if he's mediocre. That workload alone could make him top eight, period. It's not that's not up for debate. If all of those things are true, that's not up for debate. Mm-hmm. Cam Akers, I don't know. Like, yeah, I think he's a pretty good running back. Does he have the same role now that Jared Goff is gone and Matthew Stafford's there and they want to sling it and Matthew Stafford wants to air the ball out? We'll see, but I have more faith in Najee Harris than I do in Cam Akers.
Yeah, but the thing with Akers,
not only
is,
because of the role, but I think Najee Harris is more talented than Cam Akers.
No way. Absolutely not.
Yep.
Look at the player grades. They're not even close, dude.
Don't care.
The thing with Akers is he's still in an offense where they're going to use multiple running backs, so he's not going to have 100% of the workload. That's the drawback with Akers.
Not many running backs get it nowadays.
No,
that's why Najee Harris is so valuable.
But Najee will. He'll have to
get 100%.
He's going to have like 90%.
Yeah.
Najee will fill the role that Pittsburgh running backs do.
If he's
going to
get 90%, he'll be an RB. He'll be RB2 in the season.
They've been talking about giving him a workhorse role. That's what they said they wanted to draft, a workhorse running back.
They want to get back to what they had with Bell. Connor couldn't hold up to it, but that's what they want. And the two guys that they have, McFarland and Snell, they don't feel can do that. That's why they took Najee. I do know that is correct. Brian's right with that. They want him to be the workhorse back. He's going to get like 90% of the snaps.
To me, like I said, the role is what makes him so valuable. I don't know if he's talented or not. He's a rookie. We've seen rookie bust before.
You just said he was more talented than Akers.
I said I think he is. Where is this fucking universe where Cam Akers is the most talented running back in the world?
I'm not saying he's the most talented running back in the world, but he's more talented than people realize, I think. We'll get into it next week. I got some interesting numbers and stats on Akers.
All right, so I got one more for you. DJ Moore has a bounce back year and finally has his top 12 breakout that everybody's been waiting for. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to leave it.
I'm also going to leave it. If you would have said top 15, I would take it.
You guys are nuts.
I don't believe in Sam.
I know. This one, I don't feel nearly as strongly about this one as I did the other one.
It's not that I don't believe in Sam. It's that I think that there's 11 or 12 other wide receivers that are going to finish higher. That's all. If you would have said 15, I would have taken it. I think it's that close. But top 12, I'm going to leave it.
So, I mean, the thing – I get your point. But the thing about that is – you know, there are some guys that finished in the top 12 last year that I just flat out don't believe will do it again. You know, like Tyler
Lockett.
No,
and I agree with you. But there's other guys who take the next step forward.
He was top 12.
Tyler Lockett was the RB 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Holy fuck, dude. Yeah. How?
Because of the first half of the season.
Because in week 3, he had 37 fantasy points against Dallas. Week 7, he had 53 fantasy points against Arizona. And week 17, he had 33 fantasy points against San Francisco. It's like 150 fantasy points just in three games.
Yeah, no, I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, he was Metcalf was 7. He was 8. But of the top 12, Thielen and Lockett are the two that I don't think finish in the top 12. But I think Keelan Allen moves up back into the top 12. And I think one of the Dallas guys moves into the top 12.
I think there's a chance for both of those things.
But I also think I think McLaurin is right there.
I think McLaurin could definitely get in, for sure.
And I
believe in the Fitzmagic.
I do too. But and I'm not saying that I don't think there's a chance that DJ Moore can do it. But I think that the other guys are going to be just a little bit higher.
See, I think I get your point about the Dallas guys. They're good. Dak's awesome. There's more mouths to feed. I think DJ Moore is kind of on an island.
Without Dak, with a partial Dak was 15, and CeeDee Lamb was 22.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I get your point. Like I said, I totally get that. I do. But I think if DJ Moore has his breakout year, he should finish higher than them just because he's on his own and Cooper has to share with...
Yeah, but he's not on his own.
Well, who's with him?
Well, Robbie Anderson's still there.
Oh, God. Give me a break.
McCaffrey's still there going to take targets.
That's true. Forgot about him.
Well, I'll be honest. Like, I think DJ Moore, even though I don't think he's going to break top 12, obviously, I don't think his ADP is going to be that bad, so I'll buy back in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, oh, yeah, definitely. No, I'm super draftable.
Yeah. I'm going to grab him.
I mean, he finished two spots below CeeDee Lamb with arguably the same caliber of quarterback. But, yeah, I believe in the DJ Moore breakout. I think he'll finish top 12 this year. I do. I think Joe Brady can save Sam Darnold. I don't think that Robbie Anderson is really that big of a threat to DJ Moore. You do bring up a good point about Christian McCaffrey. I was thinking about wide receivers and tight ends. I completely forgot about McCaffrey. Yeah. Who's ever heard of that guy?
Yeah, who's that guy?
It's probably because he didn't play at all last year, so it's like not really fresh in my mind. But yeah, that was a big omission by me.
And there's also the chance that Carolina trades for Ertz. So it's a small chance, but there is also still the chance that they do that.
I actually did see an article in The Athletic today that said that they're still trying hard to trade Ertz, but they it says they absolutely refuse to release him. If they can't find a trade partner, he will suffer this year in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so. Which means if they can't find somebody, they'll release him because they can still spread the cap hit over 2 years.
Well, so, what's his cap hit? Like $8 million, $9
million? It's $8 million, I think.
Yeah, who cares? They don't care about that cap hit, I wouldn't think.
Do you want to go look at the numbers and then get back to me on that?
I'll look at the numbers right now. I feel like I have to now.
There's a reason they're trying to get rid of the guy. The reason they're trying to trade him so that they don't take the cap hit.
He has they have $6 million in cap space. What the fuck are they worried about? Yeah, that's plenty. I don't think they're worried about $6 million. You can always get somebody to restructure. So I think that's all I have for Take It or Leave It. So now we're going to get into a brand new Dynasty segment. Take it away, Steve.
Pick a side.
All right, so what we got is I'm going to give you guys some Dynasty trades that I've seen in some of the leagues that I'm in, and you guys are going to tell us which side you would prefer of that trade. So I have Team A and Team B. Team B in this trade is going to receive DeAndre Hopkins. Their team needs are depth of all kinds except quarterback. This team has 7 quarterbacks all starting. It's a 1 quarterback league.
I pick Team B.
they give up to Team A Swift, Brandon Ayuk.
Team A is giving up these things?
Team A is getting Swift, Ayuk, a 2022 second, a 2022 third, and their needs are running back, wide receiver depth, and they should be a playoff team without trading Hopkins.
The shitty team is getting Hopkins?
Yes.
Why the fuck do they want Hopkins if they suck? Give me the other team.
That's my thought. Yeah, I'll take the other team.
Give me the Swift and Ayuk side.
Okay.
Whichever side that is.
That's team A. So team A is the one getting two players in.
But at the same time, though, that's not enough for Hopkins. That's not enough for Hopkins. In my opinion, I don't know what you guys think, but if I'm dealing Hopkins, I want more than that.
Okay.
What was it? Swift and who?
Swift, Ayuk, and
Two draft picks in 2022.
A second and a third.
Yep.
I mean, I guess maybe the underlying problem is that I don't believe in Ayuk as much as other people. So maybe it's just that I'm undervaluing Brandon Ayuk. Maybe that's the fundamental issue.
But that's possible.
It doesn't feel like enough to me, personally. That being said, I would still much rather be Team A and receive Ayuk, Swift, and the two picks, send DeAndre Hopkins out the door, and let the schmuck with seven quarterbacks finally get a wide receiver. If he has room on the bench, I mean, I don't want him to have to cut a quarterback or anything.
Is he intentionally trying to throw the season to get better draft picks?
No, he legitimately, Team B legitimately thinks he's playoff bound and has a chance to win the championship. Legitimately.
Who are his starters, do you know?
Is his name Mike Bouchard?
Nope. Okay, so Team B, Josh Allen, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, CeeDee Lamb, Hawkinson, Dobbins, Higgins, Shark, and Terrace Marshall.
That sounds
like
bad
a
at
pretty
all.
Good fucking team.
Yeah. That sounds fucking dope as shit. What are you talking about, dude?
That's his starting lineup. His bench, the only notable player on his bench is Tariq Cohen, other than his six quarterbacks.
So he traded Swift, Ayuk, and the two
a second
picks.
And a third.
Yep.
For Hopkins.
How did he get all these guys? What did he have? 10 draft picks last year in the first round?
Yeah.
He's got fucking JT, Akers,
Lamb,
CeeDee Lamb, fucking
Dobbins,
Ayuk,
Higgins.
Dobbins, Higgins.
Yeah.
So you got Justin Herbert there too?
No.
He must have owned every pick last
year.
He's
got Allen, Rodgers, Wilson, Wentz, Brady, Darnold, and Heineken. Those are his quarterbacks. Again, one quarterback league.
So, I'll take Team B. I'll take Team B.
The one that's getting Hopkins or the one that's getting Swift and Ayuk?
So, what's Team A look like? Because I feel like you drastically undersold Team B. That team's fucking loaded. I mean, if he has injuries, he's screwed. But
yeah,
there's no question about it. That team can win a fucking championship.
So, Team A is... The team that got Ayuk and Swift is Prescott, Kamara, Sanders, Ayuk, Evans, Fant, Claypool, Swift, Davis, Jones, and then for bench guys, Matt Ryan and Winston, quarterbacks.
Team B.
Okay.
Team B all fucking day. Team A sucks. Like, what are we doing here? Team B's fucking loaded as shit, and they trade for DeAndre Hopkins. What? I'm all about it, dude. Go for it. Put your chips on the table.
I'm still going to stick with the Swift side.
No, I mean, don't get
Even
me wrong.
I think the other team's gunning for a championship, so I understand.
He added a couple of depth pieces, and that's all nice. That's all well and good. But you gave up a couple of depth pieces, and you got one of the best wide receivers in the league on a team that's fucking stacked. I'm fine with it. I think B all day and night. Put your chips on the table. We'll see what you get, you know? All day and night.
Yeah. All right. So the next trade is Team A receives George Kittle, Miles Sanders, and Russell Gage. Their needs were a wide receiver one, a tight end one, and depth. And they gave up Saquon, for Team B. Team B's needs were tight end, quarterback, and running back depth.
So they needed a tight end and gave up George Kittle?
And they gave up Kittle, yes.
What was the... One more time, I'm sorry. It was Saquon Barkley for Kittle, Gage, and who?
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders. Oof. In the Saquon side. I don't even care what the fucking team looks like.
So, I don't know. Like, I feel like Sanders is like an RB3. I feel like Gage is like a wide receiver 3. Kittle is obviously really, really good. Saquon, I don't know how to feel about Saquon. It's like I'm so scared of these injuries. But at the same time, like, he's a fucking stud muffin. So I want to say the team that got Saquon, because I feel like they stole him. Like, they basically gave up nothing for him, I feel like.
Might as well just trade a Kittle for him, straight up.
Yeah, essentially. Gage is nothing to me. He is nothing. He's a throw-in. Like, trade Julio this morning. I still don't want Russell Gage. Because he sucked when Julio was out. He sucked the year before that. Like, I don't think he's any fucking good. Sanders, much the same thing. It's like, you know, we predicted the big breakout year last year. It didn't fucking happen. It ain't going to happen now. And Kittle, I feel like the injuries are piling up. And I'm a little afraid of Kittle. So would I rather keep a tight end I'm a little afraid of, or trade for the running back I'm a little afraid of? I'll take the running back.
Okay. So round of B's. All right. So the next one. So Team A receives Calvin Ridley, a 2022 second, 2022 third. Team needs are quarterback and flex guys.
This is a single QB.
This is a, I think this is actually super flex. Yeah, this is super flex.
Okay.
Only way you should play, baby.
And I agree. And Team B gets Matt Ryan, Mike Davis, Ronald Jones. Team needs, they're good with wide receivers and running backs. The quarterback was an upgrade.
Who was his quarterback? Me?
His quarterback previously was...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe in a bounce-back year for Matt Ryan. And in Superflex, he has enormous value even if he doesn't bounce back, because everybody needs a QB2.
So his other two quarterbacks, he has Mahomes as his quarterback one, Ryan's his quarterback two. His other two quarterbacks were Drew Lock and Jared Goff.
So yeah, it's a big upgrade.
Is an upgrade.
He's probably got him for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I would say two to three. Yep.
That's what I was about to bring up, was the age. I'd rather have Ridley in that second and third, because I don't put any stock into Mike Davis, and I don't put any stock into Ronald Jones. I think those are throw-ins. They're nothing pieces. As far as I'm concerned, he essentially traded Ryan for Ridley, a second and a third. I'd rather have Ridley the second and third. So I'll take Team A. I mean, best case scenario is Davis does a halfway decent job this year, and he still loses his job next year.
Is the team that traded for Matt Ryan going for it all, or is he kind of not quite there yet? Quite there.
He's not there.
Then I'm going to take the Ridley side as well. If he was close and going for it, I would have taken his side.
Yeah, no.
Just because I don't think those 2022 seconds and thirds are going to turn out to much.
Well, don't forget, Eric, this is super flex. Those second and thirds are positional players that you normally see go in the first round of regular drafts.
That's a
good
point, yeah. But it's not a very quarterback-heavy draft next year. It's only a couple guys.
Well, right now.
Yeah. Sam Howell.
Who the fuck's ever heard of Trey Lance before this year? You know what I mean?
In my opinion, Team B is probably at the cusp of making the decision whether or not to rebuild.
That makes the decision even worse. He traded for an aging quarterback, an aging running back, and a running back that's about to become irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know?
He traded away a young wide receiver and picks.
Yeah, that's silly. No. I'll take Team A. Ridley in that second are worth Matt Ryan, absolutely, 100% of the time. Because like I said, that second-round pick is a top-tier, a round-one wide receiver. Yeah. Maybe even a back of round-one running back in a regular rookie draft in Superflex, you know?
Yep.
Because there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that go in the first round, so I'll take that all day and night.
I agree. Team A is the one that I would choose as well. So in this, Team A gets Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Cooks, and the 2021 rookie 205, which ended up being Tony. Team B gets Watson and Kiki QT.
That's a deadly stack. I'll take B.
Just fucking replace Kiki QT in the draft.
Yeah, he's fucking nobody.
Nico Collins.
Single quarterback league.
He gave up what again for Watson?
Tannehill, Cooks, and Kadarius Toney.
And that's a wide receiver. And then Team B got Watson, QT, and their need was a quarterback too.
I thought you said this was a one QB league.
It is, but he needed a backup quarterback.
Oh, my God. Give me the Tannehill side.
Yeah, all day and night. Nobody ever needs a quarterback in a one QB league.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Watson, if he's playing, is probably a top five QB.
Yeah, too much uncertainty
around
for me.
He might replace the guy he has as QB1 unless it's like Mahomes.
His quarterback one is Russell Wilson, so.
Oh, yeah, Watson would definitely dethrone him.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, sure. Tannehill's a good quarterback. How could one of his needs be a QB2 when he traded Tannehill?
I think Tannehill's got more juice in the tank than I think people think. I think he's got at least 5 years left.
So, I mean, yeah, Watson's better than Tannehill, but Tannehill is a good quarterback.
His need now is a quarterback, too. Because he traded Tannehill, because Watson may not play. His other two quarterbacks are Roethlisberger and Daniel Jones.
I thought you said he had Russell Wilson.
He does. That's his starting. He's got four quarterbacks in a one-quarterback league.
Well, then what the fuck he traded? So he traded away a pick that became Kadarius Toney and Brandon Cooks to put fucking Deshaun Watson on his bench?
For a year, yes.
When he already had Ryan Tannehill?
Yes.
Then he's dumb. Brandon Cooks is a 1,000-yard machine. Kadarius Toney is a wide receiver. I really like. He went in the first round of the draft. And Tannehill is a perfectly fine bench quarterback. So why even bother making this fucking move to get Kiki Cutie, who absolutely fucking blows? And the only time he doesn't blow is when he sucks. And you take on Deshaun Watson, who's staring down the barrel of a fucking sexual assault case. I don't get it. It makes no sense. Like, if Toney hits, this dude's going to regret it. Until the day Kadarius Toney retires.
No, I'm taking that. So I'm taking this side A, I think. I'm taking the Tannehill Cooks Toney side.
Yes, sir.
Just because I don't think, like, Tannehill's not on the back end of his career. I think he could have still gotten at least probably three. Basically, what Tannehill's been doing now, I think he has at least 3 years of playing at that level. Probably has 5 years left of starting.
Mm-hmm.
And Cooks, I like Cooks. Cooks is a guy I am totally fine with. I think he's probably the wide receiver one on his team. And Toney, I'm not the biggest Toney guy, but he's a rookie. He's young. What the fuck's Kiki Kute? I think they just replaced him in the draft with Nico Collins because he can't stay on the field.
And lest we forget that there's a good chance that Jason Garrett gets blown out of town this year. When the Giants go out there and suck. And maybe he gets a really good offensive coordinator that knows how to use Kadarius Toney, right? So there's always that upside as well. So
Garrett ain't the fucking answer for him.
No, dude. Nope. So, Steve, give me one more.
All right. I'll give you a very simple one. So Team A gets Jalen Reagor, a 2022 first and 2023 first. Obviously, this team is in a rebuild. They get a 2022 first and a 2023 first and Jalen Reagor for Calvin Ridley. Team B gets Calvin Ridley. Team B's needs was just depth.
That's a lot to give up for Calvin Ridley. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some Calvin Ridley, but two firsts? I think I'm going to take Team A. I do.
Give me the picks.
Yeah, I'll take the picks.
They're not going to say, it doesn't sound like they're going to be high picks. It sounds like they'll be late first. If this guy just needed Calvin Ridley for depth.
So. I mean, I'm not totally giving up on Jalen Reagor either. I think he could be a decent piece going forward. Now that there's a new system, a new quarterback, we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah. Team B should be a playoff team. Should be. Barring a few injuries, like, you know, he can get through two injuries. A third injury will probably derail his team.
Yeah. Which, I mean, whose team wouldn't it? Right?
Yeah, right. So he doesn't have a ton of good depth, but he has serviceable depth. So he could withstand a couple of injuries. Team A is definitely in a complete rebuild.
So I think that's going to wrap up our inaugural pick a side segment. Thank you, Steve, for bringing it to us and jotting down all these trades you've seen around your hundreds of leagues. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks to the people making the trades.
Thanks to all you dum-dums making stupid trades for Steve to write down. So
I've seen some crazy ones.
Oh, bro. Yeah. Yeah, no, even in the leagues, I mean, me and Eric don't play in a ton of leagues. Steve likes to play in 100+. Me and Eric like to stay in the single digits. And even me and Eric have seen some fucking whoppers just in the last few weeks. Fucking nuts. I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the episode. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach out to us at 508-343-8010. It will not ring. Just leave us a voicemail. And if you want to get in touch with us by email, it is dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. That is half of your entry fee to win our next prize, which will be announced on the next episode. And the Brandon Ayuk poster, it's gone. Forget about it. Unless you received an email from us telling you that you won it. The other half of your entry fee to win the next prize is to share a social media post. Share a social media post, write an email, or leave a voicemail. It couldn't be any easier. It's 100% free. And then before you know it, some sweet NFL merch is sitting on your doorstep, courtesy of the USPS. So, couldn't be any easier. Just do it, right? Why not? It's free. Don't cost you nothing. And you could get some sweet swag. If you have a league or a mock or a trade or a draft that you would like to be judged, you can take pictures or screenshots and send them to dddfantasyfootballjudge@gmail.com. We'll make a special episode just for you and your league mates, just for you and your buddies, and you can rub it in their faces when we say, yeah, you had the best fucking draft. You got the best team. You got the best players, and everybody else can suck it. And we don't hold back. We really unload with both barrels. You can find that stream by going on your favorite streaming app, probably the one you're listening to this on, and looking up Daydreaming Degenerates Judgment. If you would like to get in touch with us, if you'd like to look at our rankings, if you would like to see our next giveaway, just go to daydreamingdegenerates.com. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Steven, for doing your brand new segment. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. Don't forget to leave a comment.